We start this week, a week where our former illustrious leader, Margaret Thatcher, has passed on at the age of 87. And I felt that the traditional X Factor music was inappropriate. As a result of this week's tragic news, I have something that I feel is altogether more fitting. Yes, that's right, Maggie's dead. A party like it's 2030.
So disrespectful.
Well, everyone else is joining in, aren't they? So, alongside me, I have my traditional co-hosts, starting with the emotional one. Mr. Beddoes.
I'm happy with this music.
Or Tebow, sorry, strictly for the podcast.
Yes.
Tebow. Whoa, don't look. Tebow. Never, ever, ever look at the screen.
I was just going to say, surely this week, with all the North Korea trouble, you should be playing So Vulnerable.
I know, yeah. Tim Jong-il will be declaring war on football.
Anything.
Guam, I think, is the correct place.
Guam. Yeah, of all places, Guam. But also, alongside me, we have our traditional football analyst, Max Carnage. Grooving on, because he's sexy and he knows it.
It's strange because you are actually wiggling.
Yeah, I can't say that.
And he
do it.
He does go down the gym a lot.
I do. Just keep myself nice and healthy.
We do have an agenda this week.
I've
kind of ruined my plan of putting the trailer to the show on YouTube by not doing the intro, but I guess we could put the Thatcher intro on because it's topical and people hate Margaret Thatcher.
And it will get us some hits.
Yeah, indeed. Just put, like the news itself, just Margaret Thatcher. Like
North Korea. Margaret Thatcher.
And finally, North Korea are about to destroy the world.
That pissed me off the other day. I was like, look, I can't remember what, from being used to looking at it, and I'm sorry, but someone saying they're going to blow up America, pretty big thing, it was like the fourth headline story.
I think that tells you everything you need to know about the threats that North Korea make.
Well, yeah, but still,
yeah, bear in mind their missiles can hit Guam is vital to the world's economy and everything else.
It's also
isn't that sort of thing.
Come on now.
Watching far too much Ace Ventura when nature calls.
Guano is Bapu. I thought, as we've now got a selection of countries to choose from, we'd open with a regular feature, which wasn't regular because we stopped it because nobody was looking at YouTube, of interesting facts. And I'll play a little tune for you and see if you can work out where I'm talking about. Hold on, I better put it at the start.
And my tune.
Oh, Canada!
It's all about Canada!
All about.
Yes! After I said I like the Canadians.
This is the English version. I've yet to hear any lyrics. Oh, there we go. This is a better anthem than ours, to be honest.
Do they all sing this in that particular tone? Like even the women drop into a near baritone sing?
Yeah, they're all singing. Oh my God! That's going to look horrible on the waveform again. So with that in mind, I have some interesting facts about Canada. Did you know that Canada is the second largest country by landmass in the world?
Number one is Russia.
It is, however, it has the most borders with the sea. More than Russia.
Islands in Canada.
So it kind of cheats a bit. The average life expectancy of a Canadian is 81.16 years, the eighth highest in the world.
If Margaret Thatcher was Canadian, she'd have bet the average.
Yeah, I was going to say, she had a good innings, didn't she? I mean, for a large part of that, she was stroke-ridden and stuff. But, she did fucking...
Can't say that!
She was, though! That's not being harsh.
Stroke ridden.
She was. She had several strokes. Got all excited now.
Stroke ridden. It kind of sounds a bit sexual, doesn't it? We'll save that for the next thing. I'm going with Maggie.
Contrary to the fact that America was discovered in 1492 by Christopher Columbus, the east coast of Canada was settled by Vikings around the year AD 1000.
Really?
Indeed. Archaeological evidence of a settlement has been found at Lons Omido, Newfoundland.
Same sort of Viking.
True. Apparently, the first North American child to be born of European parents, and this is highly accurate, they even know the name of this child, from AD 1000, was called Snorri. Not Snooky, Snorri.
Makes me think of Snot from American Dad.
Indeed.
Makes me think of Snooky. Snorri.
What is the official sport of... Okay, I've got to say
it's
got to
be ice hockey.
It's got to be ice hockey.
It is not ice hockey. No. Whilst it is the most prevalent sport,
lacrosse.
It is indeed lacrosse.
Good call.
Good call. Good call. obviously, the regent of England, currently Queen Elizabeth II, is the Canadian head of state. Somewhat bizarrely, I think. It does seem odd that they're not just have their own head of state these days. They have made many important inventions. That's surely grammatically incorrect.
Please,
I think it is, yeah.
Maple syrup.
Kerosene.
Surely be.
The electron microscope.
For...
The electronic organ. Insulin. Represent. not that I take it. The IMAX film system. I'm not entirely sure how important IMAX is.
No.
The snowmobile, which seems logical.
Yeah.
And the electric cooking range. So, for all those students out there cooking on horrible cookers...
Whoa, whoa, I have one of those.
And Max Knowledge.
Mine looks like it's come straight out of a student's house.
Up until 2007, Canada had the tallest building in the world, which was...
CN Tower.
The CN Tower.
My mum has been up the CN Tower.
The West Edmonton
Glass
Mall in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I always have to say Edmonton, Alberta, Canada because of
Chris
wrestling.
Benoit.
Yeah. I'll level with you here. I was originally going to play the Chris Benoit entrance music as
already,
my Canada music. But
we've already insulted Maggie. Let's not insult another dead person.
It wasn't even that. It was the fact that it takes too long to kick in. And to be honest, nobody else would really know what it was. The West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton was once the world's largest shopping mall. It now only ranks fifth, but it contains the world's largest indoor amusement park called Galaxyland.
Is there a roller coaster in the mall?
I believe so, yes. Wow. I haven't got photographic evidence, but I
that
would be a
cool.
Pretty shit amusement park if it didn't have roller coasters.
Very true.
And finally, not that anyone will really care about this, Alberta has 50% of the world's supply of bitumen.
Of what?
Bitumen.
Bitumen.
It's used for making roads. Exactly.
Absolutely lost.
And, well,
bitumen,
yeah.
I've never heard of that
anywhere?
Before.
It's
you're not a very cultural man, that's why.
On old school roofs, and they used to like that. Oh,
yeah, when they tar roofs.
Oh, yeah.
That's what bitumen is. Yeah, it's a good name, isn't it?
I thought you were saying there's 50%
think...
bitchy men.
The highest population of bitchy men in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, get you.
I don't like your
hand. You don't get the hand gestures that I do on tape.
Didn't get Tim's little shake of the head then as well.
Yeah. Girlfriend. I think it's time, without further ado, to move on to our traditional segment.
Maggie!
It is sexual. Maggie, stroke ridden Maggie, is a sexual gala lady. Now, sexual points from the football. Go on.
I want to go first.
Go on.
Nobody else gets it.
Go on.
Clayton.
Oh. Yes!
Loughton's strike was a very good strike, I've got to admit. And it was the fact that My mom really wants Villa to go down.
I obviously
wonder where we were going with that. My mom really wants a bit of Matthew Loughton.
No,
she
prefers Marty Pellow of Wet.
Whose mom doesn't?
It's amazing considering he was a smackhead as well, and yet they overlooked that because of his looks.
And because he had a number one for like 21 weeks.
Yeah, and he's got feelings and stuff like that. I mean, no, that Bertolt's
not. He's caught up in a wish.
Not all Bertolt's, I don't think. You know what I mean? There's many of them that are cruel and harmless. I obviously was very happy about Villa because we'll come on to this in a bit. But the natural order of QPR, Wigan, and Reading, or not quite in that order, is restored as the bottom three. And I'll be honest, I'd be willing to be wrong about the bottom three if Stoke go down.
Agreed. We will both.
Yeah.
We'll both forgo it because if Stoke go down. I am going to celebrate like it's 2013.
I was going to mention something, but we'll come on to that. We'll sort of segue into that as well. Because missing
Max is doing a segue motion.
I noticed. I felt it was such a poor joke. It was unworthy of my attention. You will notice.
Fortunately, Tim is a far more intelligent.
We have Max's predictions of Norwich, Reading, and Wigan, and my predictions of QPR, Wigan, and Reading. But we don't have a Tebow or Tim Jong-il prediction for the bottom three. However, we kind of do because we'll bring up at this moment. Bold predictions, in which I
not
believe
doing so good,
I'm still on for my bold prediction, as is Max.
I'm still on for it.
And Tebow's prediction of QPR not going down seems somewhat unlikely after the weekend.
Mathematically,
the more amusing
possible.
Part of this whole situation is that the day after at work, I walked past Tim's desk and he was like, "You know what? It's official. QPR definitely not going down now. I'm 100% certain."
Now, bear in mind, QPR have 6 games left to play. They're on 24 points, so they can accumulate 18 points. Mathematically,
it's possible.
It's possible.
They need to win a minimum of 4 of those 6 games.
I believe the layman's terminology is it's fucking unlikely.
Yeah.
But we'll see, I guess.
So mathematically, I do have a secondary one, and that is it will come down to the final day of the season for Man City and Man United just to piss you off.
That won't happen.
You're
only allowed one to the season, so you're not having that. Any more sexual moments from the week? Or from the week? I'll be honest, I, apart from the fact that they were terrible at times in the game, they did have around about a 20-minute spell where they looked fantastic. Galatasaray from last night.
I didn't watch because I was playing. I came back, and when I got home, I just about caught the start of the second half of the Dortmund-Malaga game, which was
better
good.
Choice.
Yeah. I saw the scores coming through for the Galatasaray game. I thought, you know what, I might have to switch this over. But then I thought, really? They're still going to get 3 more goals? No,
yeah,
just
the thing is,
one.
I started watching it last night because the other half was at work until late. So I started watching it and it was 1-0.
She came back and told us to turn it off, didn't
no,
she?
No, she came back and I was busy getting the tea ready because I'm domesticated.
He's cowering in the corner. Don't beat me! Don't beat me!
I was busy getting the tea ready, so she put on another programme and then I wanted to watch Catfish anyway. So we were...
Catfish, good show.
It's a brilliant show. Mm-hmm. Brilliant original documentary as well. But I left it at 1-0 and I was like, there's no chance of this. And I looked on Twitter, it's 3-1, and I was like, oh, alright, I'm going to watch the rest of this match now. And then as I was watching it, I was looking on Twitter as well and it was coming through, it was like 2-1, no, 1-0 Malaga, 1-1, 2-1. I was like, hang on. I need to change channels. I was like, no, I'm going to stick with this match. Then Galatasaray are going to turn it around. And I was gutted
me and my friend were watching it and we saw the Galatasaray goals and we kept it on that, and then they were talking about it. We were like, nah, we'll leave the Malaga game, then turned over to the Malaga game to see they're through the game had ended, so we're like, oh, well, look at the Malaga players crying, because that's what you got to do when people go out, isn't it? And then we switched back over and fucking Real Madrid had scored a second goal.
Yeah.
So
you basically missed all the good bits of both games.
No, I have done that before, but on this occasion.
Did you see Aboué's goal?
I did, yes.
Yes, that was a good goal.
It wasn't as good as Drogba's. Drogba's was very sexy.
I actually
thought Aboué's was better. I'm just less convinced that Aboué meant it. Because it's Aboué.
I said this.
He just pretty much runs up to the ball and hits it as hard as he can.
Mm.
And it just so happens that it goes perfect top corner.
Mm. Oh, no, I doubt he meant it, because Aboué is a pile of shit. he's an Arsenal reject. And in these times, being an Arsenal reject really, really is no longer anything to be vaguely proud of.
It usually means you've gone to Man City, though, so to not go to Man City and be an Arsenal reject.
I like it, yeah.
That's at least something.
See, the good ex-Arsenal players go to good teams like Manchester United. Anyway.
And then go on runs where they can't score for 9 games, is it?
It's because I'm going with my fancy football team, that's why.
But in any case, whilst I didn't put this down on the schedule, but I do think we should talk a little bit about some of the news items. One that Tebow will be have an opinion on, I suspect, is Rafa Benitez claiming that he will manage Liverpool again.
Yeah, I've heard this a lot. There's a lot of talk of him wanting to come back, and I think he's still got his house in Liverpool.
This is a guy who really knows how to endear himself to Chelsea fans.
I mean, at the end of the day,
just wait till the end of the season.
At the end
you're
of
making
the,
it worse.
It's stupid, because at the end of the day, I want to fuck a lot of supermodels, but it's not going to happen. So just because he wants to manage Liverpool again doesn't mean they're going to bring him in.
Recent years, take into account recent years and managers who've been there for more than 6 to 12 months, he has been the best manager that Liverpool have had. League wise,
over the last 15 years, no, he's not.
I'm on about over the past like 4 years since I've been back into football.
Well, I suppose it's the last 4 years. Then again, I mean, you know, Kenny Dalglish wasn't exactly a great Liverpool manager, was he? I don't think so. Well, yeah. Certainly not in his second stint, and he won half the trophies that Rafa won. Rafa Benitez won 2 trophies on penalty shootouts.
That was his
success, and he left the club in 7th.
The thing that Liverpool fans want is the Premier League.
Yeah, and he's never going to win the Premier League.
But he got us the second, and that was the highest that
he's never going to win the Premier League. He's never going to win the Premier League.
Not with the players we've got at the minute.
If Rafa Benitez can only do as well as he's done with
Chelsea.
Is it just me,
or as the two non-Liverpool supporters in the room, do you think that Liverpool fans are overly harsh on the team and Brendan Rodgers?
Yes.
Agree?
If that was Rafa Benitez's team,
or
Kenny Dalglish's team.
Oh, Kenny especially.
The thing is, even under Kenny, people wouldn't question it as Kenny, they would question the players.
Exactly. So all of a sudden,
now
if the players don't perform, it's Rodgers' fault.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he's brought in, I was going to say Moutinho.
Coutinho.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Fantastic
player. Yeah, fantastic player. And Sturridge, he's a good player.
Yeah. The Welsh Xavi, known as Joe Allen.
He's been there less than a season. He's a young player.
Joe Allen is a good player.
This is what we're talking about.
Because
he doesn't play a 40-yard killer ball.
Yeah, Stephen Gerrard can't pass a ball 5 yards to one of his own players, and he's fucking God's gift to football.
I do think that in the Olympics, I was looking forward to Joe Allen playing the most, because I do think he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Joe Cole. In a Liverpool shirt, Joe Cole didn't perform. That may be because he wasn't being
appreciated. No, I just don't think that Liverpool fans appreciate what he does for the team. He keeps possession.
Mm.
This is why people don't understand why Michael Carrick's a good player. He keeps possession.
Mm.
They're just looking for someone who's going to get the ball and fucking shoot from 30 yards and it goes in every time. When 9 times out of 10 it doesn't.
No.
From time to time it does.
As many goals as Frank Lampard has scored. If you count the amount of shots that went miles
wide
at the bar,
free kicks that have deflected, shots that have deflected, that have been classed as his goals as
granted, yeah. But if you watch a game with, say, Frank Lampard or Steve,
they'll shoot four or five times.
Anyway, because, you know, the whole thing of being in, you know, to win the lottery, you've got to buy tickets, all this kind of stuff.
You know a player who was just like that at Man United, and he scored some good, and everyone remembers the good goals he scored? Darren Gibson.
I have less fond memories of Darren Gibson playing at Wolves.
Exactly. Most people would have less fond memories of Darren Gibson because
he
wasn't a very good player. He had a decent strike, 1 out of 6, 1 out of 7, but he would make sure he had those 7 shots in every game.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad player.
I didn't say he was a bad player. He's just not a very good player.
I'm still
player.
Not entirely convinced he's even a Premiership player.
Exactly. This is the point. This is the point.
But yeah, moving on from Liverpool, the other thing that caught my eye in the news was the remarkable turnaround one man seems to have made about the topic of racism. Yes, indeed. UEFA's latest stance on the matter is that they're proposing a 10-match ban for racist abuse.
I registered that. First instance, half a stadium to be shut down.
I've not actually read this.
Second instance, full stadium shut down for the second instance of racism.
Good.
Yep.
From the fans.
Good.
Speaking at the SoccerX event in Manchester today, the slightly unfortunate surnamed Gianni Infantino. Just sounds a bit odd. Sounds like he's got the surname of a child.
It's an Italian child.
I suppose, yeah. The surname child. I mean. added, if supporters are found guilty, then there'll be a partial closure of the stadium. This means the section where offence took place will be closed. If there is a second offence by the club supporters, there will be full closure with a minimum €50,000 fine, which is £42,700.
But you see, this is the problem. Yes, they're taking action with the stadium, but they're still handing out shit fines.
Yeah.
But they're also, I think, being rather harsh in one respect, because if you go, that bit of the ground had racist chanting, we're shutting that bit down.
Mm.
If there was one guy chanting it,
yeah,
why should all the other people, even if you tell him to shut up, he still chanted it and you've still got the fucking bit of the ground closed?
What could say that about any situation? You've got to take action and proper action. That is the right action to take, in my opinion.
Why not? Yeah, but if you've got camera crews at the game, surely you can identify the people who are chanting.
Not all the time.
Mm.
Besides, and the thing is, this is more directed at the clubs, because the problem is clubs don't punish their fans for doing this sort of thing.
Mm.
You start banning their fans, that stops their money stream coming in.
Hmm.
So it's forcing not only the fans to take a look at themselves, but the clubs to say, you know what, we actually need to do something about this instead of just thinking it's just nothing. So I it's a good idea. I can see what you're saying, but
unsurprisingly, Clark Carlisle has welcomed it. His reaction is one of near satisfaction. The minimum 10-game ban is a fantastic start, as it is a deterrent. But I agree on the financial thing. Banning players, yeah, but it's not normally the players that are the problem.
Mm.
It's like the whole thing with Brighton at the moment and the homophobic abuse that they're getting. You're not gonna stop that by banning players, because they're not the ones doing it. You need to fine the clubs, and like you say, not just go, oh, we'll find you £50,000. Find them a big amount of money.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Find them the cost.
£50,000. I'm not saying they would, but if Man United got found guilty of
find them the cost to run their club for a season.
Or find them the cost.
I
bet you it would not happen if they find them the cost to run their club for a season.
Like, for example, find Man United the cost of Robin Van Persie.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So you can't buy a player that you wanted to buy. But no, it is good to see you ever take an action, I think, but I don't know, there's something that bugs me about the way just the way they've gone about it, like, no, there's no problem, no problems at all. No. Whoa. Oh, we certainly, yes, there's lots of problems. We really need to do lots about this.
Was it Boateng who was racially abused, and then Blatter turned around and went, come round my house and we'll sort it out.
Something you are. Like that. Fucking.
And where's Boateng supposed to go? Is he supposed to get in a fucking jet and fly up to the jet store?
He's like.
Indeed.
Just come around, we'll have a chat, have a cup of coffee, get sorted.
There's not that much else to mention, I suppose. I did want to touch on the, as a Wolves fan, the fact that we are struggling down the bottom. Although we have got Huddersfield, weekend, and one of my friends at work, he's a Huddersfield fan, who's already admitted defeat, and I've already admitted defeat, and we can't both lose. So it's probably.
I don't know, this is Wolves and Huddersfield. there must be a way.
It's probably like, you know, Chelsea. Man United games, you wish there was a way they could both lose somehow. But unfortunately not. Wolves are 20th on 48 points, but it's only because we've got a minus 9 goal difference that we're ahead of Huddersfield with their mighty minus 26.
It's now minus 111.
But propping us all up, other than Bristol City and Peterborough, are the mighty Blackburn. I am continually amazed, even through all the bullshit that has gone on, they've got Jordan Rhodes. How are you in so much trouble when you've got a guy who just, I was going to use the terrible objective then, of scores goals for fun, as opposed to people who play purely for the professional aspect of football. I don't understand that phrase.
I've never thought about it much.
It's like somebody once said to me, I read it on 606, Wes Brown is the best natural defender in the country. What? So you mean he just naturally stands around defending objects? What does that mean?
He'd be really good in a pub. It and you wanted someone to look after your point, you just go, Wes, defend. You'd just be standing there around it for 10 minutes.
It'd be really good with, like, you know, a bike shelter. just guard the bikes. Like, Wes, nobody needs.
Does he have to be in his kit at the time?
Yeah, exactly.
full kit.
Yeah, with boots.
Yeah.
Really unwieldy on concrete.
And you know what? We'll make him captain. He has to have a captain's armband.
But indeed, Blackburn, I do find hilarious. I'm sorry to any Blackburn fans for the trouble that has befallen your club. But apparently Gary Boyer has been called out. That's how Chevy Singh says it. He's not even Indian, he's Malaysian.
He played for Malaysia.
Yeah, he's a Malaysian international.
He was a Bollywood actor as well, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't
and
know.
And he played for Malaysia.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sorry. I know he played for Malaysia.
Please say it at the same time.
What?
At the same time? Like a Bollywood film about playing for Malaysia.
Well,
no.
There was
it would not surprise me if it happened.
There was the series of films.
Funded by Juventus.
called Goal.
Yes,
there?
Exactly.
With the lad who dreamed of playing for Newcastle. Mm. I don't know many Brazilians who dreamed of playing for Newcastle.
He was Brazilian, he was Mexican.
Oh, okay.
You clearly have not seen the film.
I have, but it was that bad.
No. Goal is a good film. It's the subsequent sequels that you've got to worry about.
Goal was not a very good film. Have you ever seen, by the way, the film about Zidane? The world's most boring film.
Yes, I have. It's basically a camera on him for an entire game, isn't it?
It's basically a guy going, I fucking love Zidane.
Yeah.
Because he just follows him all game. I'm like, this is so dull. Even
just,
I like
just
ball.
A game.
It's just,
I
doesn't
wanted to watch
any
it
of the rest of the
thought,
game. Just him.
I wanted to watch it because I genuinely think, you know what, this, yeah, it's a film about Zidane. He's one of the great players of our generation. Like to see it, and wow,
it's just so.
It wasn't. The thing is, it wasn't even a game in which Zidane did a lot.
Scored
exactly. A goal. It was just a really boring game of football.
The thing is, you say that they kept the camera on him constantly. At any point, did he like pick his nose or scratch his balls?
They just focused on his balls. No, that's a different kind of film. moving on from that subject, I think we need to talk about Margaret.
Do we?
It is the week in which she died, and I feel that, I mean, we can link this into a section later on. Maggie did have involvement in sports, She had involvement in things that I think will affect each one of you, but they're two separate subjects. We'll open with carnage. Margaret Thatcher was responsible for letting local authorities sell off a lot of the playing fields in this country, which I believe has had a detrimental impact on grassroots football. Would you not agree that one of the problems with grassroots football is finding pitches and things like that?
I wouldn't agree that the problem is finding a pitch. I would say it's the quality of the pitch. And I don't necessarily think I would put that down to the pitches being sold off in the first place. I think maybe the local councils and the government now really should be perhaps putting a bit more money into maintaining their parks.
Do you not think that they have not got the money to do that now? And that if they hadn't sold them off in the first place, it wouldn't be such an issue.
Well, you know, to be honest, it's very difficult. I don't know a lot of the background. But certainly, look, I mean, from my point of view, I've never had a problem finding a pitch.
In 1981, Regulation 909 gave education authorities the right to sell school land that they considered a surplus to their requirements, which is always a dangerous wording to apply to something. Over the next decade, so by 1991, which is how many years ago? I can't even do maths. A long time ago now. It's like 20 years ago.
22.
By that point in time, an estimated 5,000 playing fields had been sold, majority of which were converted into housing developments, supermarkets, or car parks.
It's a difficult one because... I mean, that's part of the problem, isn't it? I mean, what's more important, having homes for people or having a place to play football?
I mean, I suppose there is...
And, you know, for all the things that people say about Margaret Thatcher, I think she, from what I know about and from what I've read, and I'm sure this is probably a controversial sort of thing to say, but I think she probably did what she felt was right for the country. She made difficult decisions. Yes, there were decisions that probably harmed a lot of people, but they probably did more good for the overall UK and that's the kind of thing that comes down to it. I mean, yes, selling off land where, you know, people can do sports and that sort of thing, it's not good. But if you're selling off that land so people can, you know, so you can build houses for people to live in when we've got people who need housing, then...
Between 1907 and 1990, not quite the same thing, but the proportion of pupils under 14 spending less than 2 hours a week in physical education rose from 38% to 71%.
That's poor.
That's why I'm saying.
By the end of the Tories...
Don't blame Maggie.
By the end of the Tories being in power in 1907, that figure had actually crept up to 75%. So only 25% of our children were 14. I just say our children, so we've got lots of children together. One day. That is shocking. 25% would spend more
time. I agree, but again, I think this was an issue with the schools as well. I mean, I certainly remember when I was at school, I loved doing PE.
Oh, yeah.
I've always been I was always. You know, I always like sports and keeping fit and things.
I'll have you know, in year 7, I was in the school football team.
Good for you, Tim. Anyway,
the issue I always took at school was, I mean, I suppose it's, I've thought about this somewhat at length, that at my school, we used to get graded on PE, and I'd always get a D or lower. And they were like, you know, he doesn't really try. He's not very good.
You see, this is what was coming to the problem with education. You need someone who's going to give you not only the opportunity, like a good teacher will give you the opportunity, but also will motivate you to want to do that sort of thing. Some of my PE teachers were good. Some of them, you'd be able to just walk up and say, oh, I forgot my kit. I can't do it. And they'd be like, okay, you've just got to go and sit down in class and do lines or something. And then. It's not really deterrent if you really don't want to do it. And nearly all of those people I've seen from school since, and I don't associate with any of them because I can't stand them, are all fat fuckers.
Like we had,
and it came down to laziness, and you know, I'm not picking on fat people. I'm just saying.
Hope not.
I'm just saying.
The dictator has started.
If you're not lazy and you do exercise, then you're not going to get to that stage.
Yeah,
it's that simple. You either want to get, well, not want to, but if you're getting fat,
if
you don't do something
desire.
About it. Then whose fault's that?
If there's a great enough desire, you will get in shape.
Exactly.
It's like, I keep going on this, I'd love to be able to, like, I'm in a lot better shape than I was. Before, I'd get knackered playing my daughter.
Well, that's an incentive,
you
isn't
know,
it?
That's the thing. I know I wanted to get fit again, so I could, you know, in 10 years' time, I wouldn't just be going, Kira.
Tim, look, we know you like your Yorkies, but at the same time, you know when you get to a certain stage, and you've said it to me before, you lose weight, and you do. So, you know.
I saw a guy at work once who his sole job was putting up stickers on the desks to say, don't move the phone or any of this. This is under change control. Boring, you know, work bullshit. He was out of breath.
See, that's where I don't want
to. Oh, yeah,
be.
I know. At my school, there were two PE teachers, one of whom was really nice, and one of whom was a cunt. The one who was a cunt hung himself, so what does that say?
Jeez.
He did, genuinely.
Can we move on now? I mean,
I'm not
going to
be harsh
dark.
About him. A lot of people at my school were really harsh about when he died, and I was like, he was an absolute arsehole and a proper little. He was again,
short
little man.
Syndrome.
Yeah, little
man
syndrome. And we'd have. You'd see the good. We got split into groups in football. The good lads. Or sorry, the good group.
That's another
decent
problem.
Decent.
That they
I understand.
Yeah.
And then they would put us in the shit group. The good group would have 5 to 10 minutes of warming up and go and play a full game. We'd have 45 minutes of warming up and then about 10 minutes of a game. I'm like, what does that
and do? That's going to improve your footballing ability.
And then when we got to sixth form,
it's really going to improve your footballing ability, just running around warming up.
When we got to sixth form, we were allowed to play other sports such as Laser Quest.
What? You played Laser Quest in sixth form PE?
10-pin bowling and snooker.
By any chance, was this when you weren't at school? And
no.
These
were offered as choices for PE at school.
No.
You got to
you
play
got to, you to
Laser
pay.
Quest.
Yeah, you went to pay. And,
that's incredible.
I was going to say one of my mates. He's not. He's one of my worst enemies. But he used to be a mate who, before he went to Laser Quest the one time, we'd had DT, and he decided to make a bayonet out of MDF to attach to his wrist. So he's good.
This guy is a hero.
He's not. I hate his guts, but that was quite amusing.
I was going to say, on the subject of PE teachers, my secondary school ones weren't so bad. It was more like, to me and my mates who were always like the nerds, and obviously weren't very good at sports, even though, like I said, I got into the school football team. But
still
we were always
no.
I was a sub for like 3 matches and then gave up. But they're like, we were always picked last and all that sort of thing, and we would literally be playing and we'd get like not bullied so much, but you know, we'd have the pistol carried of us by the people who were good at football, and the teachers never did anything about it.
That's a problem.
And it just,
they're only interested in the ones
anything.
Who have the talent and the ability.
But then there was in primary school, this was, and I will remember this forever, and we were like doing some, it was after school football thing that we were doing, and I was taking part in it, and I'll be honest, I talked to my mate, and then I turned round and the teacher had said to the group while I was talking to my mate, right, we're going to work on defending, and this is how I want like so and so to defend the ball. And he was showing with like this one kid just defending, and I just turned around, happened to see this kid defending. I thought, oh, okay, I'm giving him for a tackle. Got the ball off the teacher absolutely cleanly, shoved me on the floor.
we need to move on because we're getting to we've only got about, well, I said we've only got a certain time if we've got as much time as we want, but you want to go. So
yeah, I've got to be somewhere.
You've got to be somebody.
He's apparently got money to go out of the pub. He has not money to do other things, but anyway. Let's not dwell on that.
If you must know, I was going to say the wife, but not quite yet. He's paying for my evening at the pub.
Okay.
Soon. Soon.
Hmm. Anyway, the other before we move off the topic of Maggie, the other thing I did want to briefly bring up to a man who's a Liverpool supporter is the subject of Hillsborough. Maggie was never one to criticise the police, unfortunately. This whole lady's not for turning thing.
Yeah, I read a the reason why so many people, obviously besides everything political wise, a lot of people knew why, it was she wrote to, and actually read like a copy of the letter, and she said basically this person
to Lord Taylor.
No, this was to
like
an individual, I believe. And it was basically along the lines of these yobs who, and this is after a family member of theirs had died, these yobs who caused this to happen, it's their fault and it's beyond contemptible to blame the police. Now obviously in light of what we've found since, it was the fault of the police for mismanaging the event. But
she also wrote to Lord Taylor to who did obviously the Taylor report, to in a handwritten note as well, so not even she got someone to write it for her, it was her own thoughts, made it clear that she did not want to give the government's full backing to his criticism, only to the way in which he had conducted his inquiry and made recommendations for action. So yeah, I don't think we'll dwell on Maggie. I'm not a big fan of her. I'm not, as much as I might have sounded incredibly harsh, harsh on everyone. I've got no particular more dislike for Thatcher than I have every other human being on earth. So I think what we'll move
should
on.
We leave him?
We'll move on to.
Just go.
We'll move on to something that we said we were going to discuss last week, and we didn't actually discuss, was the topic of England, and I posed some homework to Tebow and Carnage that was, are England still a top 10 world footballing power?
Yes.
Tebow?
I would say top 10.
And with that, we'll move on now.
I wouldn't say top 5. I know you'll disagree with me.
Well, what I'll do is I'll give you the top 10 as it stands in the FIFA rankings as of today. There will be an update to these rankings tomorrow, but I can't imagine anything has changed as no real games have been played. Yeah, put the light on him, that will blind us. Number one,
Spain.
Number two,
Germany.
Yep. Number three,
Holland. No.
South American.
It's going to be Uruguay.
No.
Mexico.
Argentina. Oh, okay.
Number four,
England.
Yes.
Number five, European.
Holland.
Italy.
Really.
Number six, South American.
That's got to be Uruguay.
Colombia.
What?
See.
Okay. number seven, European.
I'm not answering
Southern,
anymore.
Southern European.
Portugal.
Indeed. Number eight. One you've said several times and got wrong.
Holland.
Netherlands, actually.
Netherlands. Yeah. Well, they call it Holland, though.
Yeah, but Holland's
Holland
a region of the Netherlands.
Yeah, but they
it's like calling England London.
Yeah, but they call themselves Holland.
I know, but it's like calling England London.
Only if we called ourselves London.
Yeah, but it's only people from the Holland area of Netherlands who refer to themselves
anyway,
as Holland.
Number nine.
Just very quickly on the Netherlands topic. My other half thinks that the Netherlands refers to Holland or Netherlands, Denmark, and another area.
So Scandinavia, basically.
No. Sweden. Although we had Sweden last week, and it mentioned it, Sweden is Sweden, Finland, Norway.
Okay.
Every time I mention it, she can't get her head around it.
In all fairness, Lapland is in Sweden, Finland, and
Norway,
slight bit of
very,
Norway
very
at the very top,
yeah.
Isn't it?
We need to move on.
Yes.
I'm going to say something
yes.
controversial here. Your wife sounds like a retard.
I'm scared!
It's okay, it's a good job she don't listen.
She's going to listen to this one.
Number nine, Croatia. And number 10, Russia.
Okay.
So in that top 10, you do not have Brazil, who have not been playing competitive games, because they qualify as hosts.
Mm-hmm.
You have France. I would argue they're probably...
They should still be quite high up there, considering their previous...
I'm considering, how do they compare to England? I know the sort of the thing in your mind is to go, we're worse than them. Because that's the English
diplomacy strategy. No, well, then this is the point. No, we're not worse than France.
At the moment, I don't think we are. We're not.
Uruguay 16th, which with the way they're qualifying, because they probably they might not qualify for the World Cup. They're on 12 points from
there's
9 games.
There's a lot of teams that you'd think you know, obviously would, but you know, it's like Spain are looking towards the playoffs.
Yeah,
with Finland. If England had drawn with Finland,
I know it would have been the end of the world and all this kind of stuff, wouldn't it? My personal take would be that England are a top 10 side. I would say they're probably 7 or 8. I wouldn't say much because
it's
if you think
we get through to quarterfinals,
yeah, if you're 7 or 8, that's where you get to.
But it's like top 4, you're talking constant, or you'd think constant semi-finals.
I think the top 4 is bullshit. I do not understand that at all. And I know, like, oh, we beat Brazil and all this and stuff. Yeah, but it's a friendly.
That's exactly what I said earlier.
I didn't realise that because it's a friendly, we didn't beat Brazil.
It's not the same. It's not the same as going to Brazil, playing in a hostile atmosphere, in a different climate, for in a competitive tournament, trying to win something. And the problem
is not, but
the rankings. Let me finish.
Okay.
The problem is,
I'll let you finish.
The problem is that England have is when it's on the line to win something, and we have a tendency. And I don't necessarily think it's not all the play. It's the expectation put on them by the nation, they, in the eyes of the fans, choke. But is it more a case of we have to accept the fact that we're getting to these places and going out at the same stage all the time because that's how good we are?
Okay. I'll ask you a question.
Feel free.
When was the last time England lost a competitive game in 90 minutes?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
You couldn't, could you?
But if you drew every game in your group, would you be trumpeting that you were undefeated, or would you be going, we've drawn every game? Mexico, 15th. I think we're better than Mexico.
Okay, look at it like this. The answer to my question was 2010, Germany.
Mm.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago, okay?
But
okay,
the problem is you're saying they're undefeated. We were absolutely terrible against Italy. Absolutely terrible. We did not deserve to even draw
the
game.
Isn't usually the sign of a good team a team that can still
win and play badly?
Yes.
Not if you play badly all the time.
We don't play badly all the time. This is the point. I think people really, really underestimate our performances.
I'm not one of these people who's like, we were absolutely awful. We're like number 500 in the world in the last game. In the first half against Montenegro, we were very good. And then the second half, but at the same time, with the pool of players that we have to pick from, should we not be beating Montenegro, even away?
Since we lost to Croatia, 3-2 at home, didn't qualify for the European Championships, that was in 2008, that's 5 years ago.
Mm.
How many games competitively have England lost?
Again,
in 5 years?
I don't know off the top of my head, but that's not the argument I'm making.
We've lost 2 games.
But that doesn't make, just because you're not
okay.
losing doesn't
now,
mean that you're a good side.
The way that the FIFA rankings work is that you receive points for every game you play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you receive more points if you win or draw a competitive game than you receive points if you win or draw a friendly game.
Yeah.
So, looking at competitive fixtures...
So you're disagreeing with FIFA's argument, are you? That the competitive games count more?
No, they do count more.
You were just saying that they don't.
No,
was your game?
No, I wasn't. No, that's not what I said at all. When did I say that? When? When did I say it? Come on.
Well, I didn't categorically say it.
Unlike,
you were saying it, we still bet Brazil.
Unlike Mar-
no,
unlike Margaret Thatcher, this lady always turns.
You've got a flawed argument, so you're resorting to wit.
I cannot believe the contradictions in your argument.
Look, yes, I know what you're saying. Competitive game, yes, it's better than a friendly game. But you still, you know, you still got to turn up to a friendly game and beat a good side in Brazil. You've still got to turn up to a friendly game and beat a good side
Brazil
in Spain.
18th in the world.
Okay? And why Brazil 18th in the world?
Technically, they haven't had many.
Exactly.
But I actually don't think
so. Why, so why are England 4th in the world?
Because FIFA's rankings are.
Because. No, no.
Magical practice.
No, no. Because they're winning and doing well in competitive games. Mm. It's that simple.
Anyway, we are at 50 minutes, so we should probably.
Wow. See how the argument ended.
Move.
No. When I effectively ended it.
It we'll carry on. But I don't want to be responsible for your girlfriend beating you.
I can handle that. She does it anyway.
So where do you think England rank in the world?
Okay, if we're looking at player for player and the teams that are out there, I would probably say England anywhere from 8th, 6th, 7th, 8th, basically.
So we don't actually disagree on this?
No,
we said they're about 7th or 8th.
No, but you were disagreeing with the fact that England are where they are on merit. Because they are where they are on merit. Because they're winning the games to earn the points to be there. It's like... It's effectively a league scenario, so it's like saying, you know what, Man United shouldn't be top of the league, so I don't think they're a very good team, player for player. But they've got how many points?
It's not really.
It is.
Is it because Man United thrashed the shit teams, or the average teams, and England don't? Yeah, we thrashed San Marino, but that's completely...
Did we not
the standard of San Marino... They wouldn't even be able to play a comp.
Okay, fine. Did we not hammer Moldova?
Did we not draw against Montenegro?
Yeah.
And look like we should have lost it in the second half.
We didn't look like we should have lost
yes.
it. Yeah, we looked like we should have lost it in the second half. We also looked like we should have been 3 or 4 up after the first half. Again, you're just looking at the negatives.
I actually said the first half we played very well.
We did
the
play very
half,
well. We were denied a penalty, which we should have had.
The second half almost cancelled that out, I felt.
Yeah. So a draw was a fair result. It doesn't mean that England were the worst team in the game.
But should we not be going somewhere like Montenegro and beating them? And also taking our chances in the first half?
We should have gone to Montenegro and we should have won. We didn't.
On the,
how unfortunate.
I feel this debate will rumble on.
As I say, off the back of that match, I think I shared this with you. There was somebody who put on the BBC Sport Forum that... England need to be a lot more like Man United. Not a great defensive line, letting goals, but they've got a strike force which consistently scores. At the end of the match, we ended up with pretty much a United.
Yeah, but you also can't just sign a load of players.
But no. It was the fact that, like, at the end of that match, we had Young, Welbeck, Rooney.
Yeah.
Up front, and this person was saying, what I'm saying is they were ridiculous with the comment, because they were saying, oh, we need to have something like the United front line who score loads of goals. We ended up with pretty much a United. If we were in 4-3-3, we had a United front line. So why didn't we score more goals? It's supposedly they're the best team in England at the moment.
It's not just about your front line, it's about the service. You know, you can pick holes in that game all you like. You know, we battered them for 45 minutes. They battered us for 45 minutes. Could have gone either way. Ended up a draw. Fair result. Will we still qualify for the World Cup? Yes, we will.
If we end up in the playoffs with Spain.
We're not going to end up in the playoffs with Spain. Because if England get to the playoffs, they'll be seeded. It's that simple.
Anyway, I feel that we actually had got two items scheduled for the next... I don't mind staying around for the final one of those.
We can skip this one because I'm just going to get angry.
No, we need to talk about it because you've got something to talk about on this.
Yeah, and in fact, Mr. Swain doesn't know all the details.
No, I don't. I deliberately said don't tell me so that I can find out as part of the on-air podcast. Anyway,
okay.
At that point, we need to cue the music. It's time for Grassroots and an angry Max Carnage. So
I think the theme to Reservoir Dogs would probably be more appropriate.
So
either that or
Battle Royale.
So
that or 8 Mile.
Last time we talked about the congested fixture list of Cascroft Rangers.
Yeah.
What's the update?
We've since played 4 games.
Right.
Won 3.
Excellent.
Great stuff.
What about last night's game?
We lost last night, unfortunately.
What was the score?
3-2.
Okay. Was it poor goalkeeping?
Not really.
What happened? Other than the 3-2 score? I believe you have expressed your feelings via the medium of email.
There's a damn
to the league.
Culture.
Yeah, well, you know, it's about going and playing football. I don't want my players to be threatened with their lives when they go and play football.
So what happened?
We ended up playing a team of thugs.
And what did they, in what sense?
Real shit. I apologise. I meant to be awesome. That's such an inappropriate ringtone.
He's so friendly.
So you have gone crimson.
I know, yeah, because I'm the one who criticises everybody else, and I said,
Max,
I said I'd be free.
Let me just check.
I said I'd be free from 8:30 onwards.
Oh, look.
Getting calls at 8:20.
Oh, look, my phone's on silent.
Hang on, let me just check.
But
Tebow,
is your phone on silent?
Yeah, and my iPod won't make any noise.
Get the fuck out of my house and stop telling me that you can't come out because you wouldn't fucking come out on my birthday. Yeah, but he's beaten by his wife.
I think
anyway, let's get back to the subject. Yes,
yes.
My ringtone was Everybody Has AIDS from Team America. Yes, it's inappropriate.
Basically, there are a bunch of dirty, disgusting thugs who are out there to threaten... and abuse our players.
During the game, or was it like...
During the game,
use the phrase,
we were threatened with being stabbed. They were threatened with being shot. They were kicked off the ball.
Okay.
Broke his leg.
Not like kicked, and then, you know, they sort of went off the ball. They were off the ball incidents where they were kicked.
My linesman, or one of the guys who came to run the line for us as a favour, was verbally and physically abused. Kicked again by a supporter of this club. They were quite frankly a disgusting bunch of yobs.
Are you prepared to declare what team was, the name?
I'm not going to, and the reason I'm not going to do that is because the club in general, it's one of these clubs that has 3 or 4 teams, and I do know the club quite well, and I've played there many times before. And I've played against their team many times. They've always been very welcoming and friendly, and they're a great club as far as the setup's concerned. It's just unfortunately this particular team is a bunch of people who've come in from outside the club. The club are taking action against them now.
Just a proposal.
Yeah.
Shall we get down next time with a lot of boys and kick the fuck out?
Boys.
Not little boys. Yeah.
We're not gonna, I will not take another team to play against them after last night's event.
I said yesterday Chris was trying to get me to go down. He kept saying, "Oh, you're going to be the away contingent tonight for us, you know, the travelling fans." And I was like, "Oh, I couldn't because obviously we're half at work." But I'm so glad that I didn't go because I get layered when Cascroft score.
It was a horrible atmosphere.
You mentioned that one of the players had their dad go along.
Yeah, one of our young players. He's only played once for us. He was 17. Very, very good player. He's been scouted by some big clubs. He came along, brought his dad with him, and some of the abuse his dad got for cheering his son on was disgusting, to be frank.
I'm always up for a fight.
Yeah, the thing is, these guys weren't up for a fight. They were up for stabbing you in the face.
Have they got any method of stabbing you in the face?
Possibly, yeah. I wouldn't put it past them.
Let's just hope your teams do them at the weekend.
I know some people, if you ever play them again, that I'd like to bring along with me.
Oh, I know enough people. Put it this way, we may have lost the game. We were 2-1 up with 5 minutes left, but I'd rather lose that game than win the way they did.
Okay.
They had an offside decision overturned, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did they threaten the ref to it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
All 11 of them got around the ref, though.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about it today.
Anyway, moving on, let's go on to the Max debate.
We'll have to be quick, because to be honest, I want to...
Don't worry, it'll be over quickly.
Oh, I know it'll be over quickly. Now...
Right, hang on. I'm going to be mediating it. Now, last time we had 3 minutes.
I'm a backup plan, isn't going to
work.
Oh!
It wasn't even a backup plan. I was going to do a wrestling-style storyline where I gave you 3.5 minutes and then you lost on a technicality.
We gave 3 minutes last time.
Oh, is it me?
Because
of
the time constraints, we're going to go for 2 minutes.
Okay. Who's going first?
Should we flip a coin?
I don't mind, like
Nigel Beach used to do to
Bruce,
make decisions.
Bruce, take the floor.
We'll flip a phone.
No, honestly, you can take the...
I'll take everything you own, motherfucker.
Take the floor.
Never mind, just the floor.
Call sounded it. Like someone from
call
last
it.
Night there.
Yeah.
Heads, he's calling it.
No, he's just going to go first.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Right.
You just want to flip your phone out,
I
like
did.
A freak.
Yeah, I actually caught it that time.
Okay,
2 minutes.
Yes.
Swain goes first.
Yes.
Starting now.
Lionel Messi is a better player than Cristiano Ronaldo because he's a nice man.
He's already wasted at least 15 seconds.
In pretty much every metric you can measure the two's performance by, Lionel Messi is a better player than Cristiano Ronaldo. He has a goal ratio throughout his career of 0.83, comparing somewhat favourably to Cristiano Ronaldo's 0.61. Now, I know the argument traditionally is that Messi has always played for the same team, which
is
means
it?
That you can't can't judge him. I want to open up for that. You can't judge him. Now, it's true, Cristiano Ronaldo has played for inferior teams such as Manchester United, but that doesn't mean that you can't judge his performance compared to Lionel Messi. For a start, at international level, Messi's goal record is just far, far superior. Far superior. And for the argument that, he doesn't turn it on for Argentina, I give you the last two seasons in which he has scored 13 in 12 internationals. So when you talk about form and things like that, in the last two seasons for Barcelona, his goal ratio is 1.21 and 1.26 better than Ronaldo. He has won, I'll look at the list of awards that he's won. It's long. He's won 4 Ballon d'Ors. That's a record.
22nd.
He has scored the most goals in a season at club level. He scored the most goals in a calendar year. He scored the most in the Champions League, tied, not with Ronaldo. He's simply a far better player than Cristiano Ronaldo. I rest my case.
Okay. Max, and you can't just say, still a better player than Messi.
No, you can't. But he can. But it means he's lost the argument.
Okay. And go.
He's still a better player than Messi, though, isn't he? Isn't he? I mean, really?
You're using the nice guy argument.
Really? Really? That's all you've got? A bunch of stats. A bunch of stats. Look at his serious face.
It's not my serious face, my youth face from last night.
I probably don't need 2 minutes here. It's as simple as Messi is a a very goal good machine. Player. He's a goal machine, and he's a very naturally gifted player. Okay. Messi came onto the scene, was playing for Barcelona, the best team in the world, was always going to have lots of chances to score lots of goals very quickly. Ronaldo started at Sporting Lisbon, who weren't really in the title picture at the time. He then moved to Manchester United, who at the time weren't really in the title picture. They didn't win the league for 3-4 years. Okay, very young player. Okay, when we did win the league, he pretty much carried the team to the league the first season and the second season. Messi is a very one-dimensional player if you look at him. He plays straight through the middle. He's very direct. He's got one. He's got a left foot. You ever see him score with his right foot? Anyone?
Doesn't need to.
How often? How often does he do it? Ronaldo can shoot with both feet from distance, from a long distance. Okay, he heads the ball. He can cross the ball. He supplies goals. He doesn't play up front through the middle. He plays on the wing. He scores possibly throughout
seconds.
His career. It's not the best goal ratio compared to Messi's. But he's playing from a deeper position. He's playing from the wings. He certainly did for Manchester United. He scored 42 goals in one season.
Ten.
From the wing. As far as Argentina and Portugal are concerned, Argentina play shit Bobby. South American teams. Portugal play in the European League. Done.
Portugal did not play.
Face.
Good teams. How?
Portugal playing
okay.
Euro.
If he has such better abilities,
mm-hmm.
being able to score with both feet
mm-hmm.
and with his head, why doesn't he score more goals than Messi? Because he's not a better player.
If you have a look at how many goals he's scored in La Liga recently,
it's less than Messi. He also hasn't scored against every other team in La Liga consecutively.
So,
essentially,
it does not
that.
Matter.
Why does it not matter?
Okay. because he doesn't. That's a shit argument. Well, why does it?
You've proven you are the best player because you've scored against every single version of competition in the league that you play in
yeah.
a row.
And he's only ever played in the same league, and let's be honest, La Liga from about fucking 12th down is shocking.
So, but you're saying that Ronaldo is a better player the last 2 years when he's got an inferior goal record?
Right, okay, if you want to go with stats, I'll pick up some stats for you. Just let me have a look at some stats, okay? And if I'm wrong, yeah, I will accept defeat.
Cristiano Ronaldo, in the last two seasons, I'll give you, last season, he scored 46 in 38 in La Liga. He still scored less overall. In fact, no, sorry, he scored less because Messi scored 50 in 37.
The thing is, like, you can look up stats as much as you want.
Exactly.
You can talk about the approaches of the players, you can look at their positions.
Who has scored the most La Liga hat-tricks?
Oh,
that'd be Messi with 8. Most goals scored in one season in La Liga. Oh, that would be Messi with 50. Most goals scored in the Supercopa de España. That's Messi with 10 goals. Most consecutive La Liga matches scored in 19 matches with 30 goals. Most goals scored in El Clásicos, 18. Shared with Alfredo de fucking Stefano.
Yeah.
That's a strange
so
game.
Good, so good he played for fucking 3 different countries in 1950.
He was a phenomenal player. Argentina, he holds the record for most goals scored in a year with Gabriel Batistuta.
My point was, you can look at the stats, you can look at the players' positions and their approaches to playing, but everyone's going to have a different opinion, which is why it's so much fun.
He's
to
not
just sit down
for
and
Barcelona.
Listen to
he's
here
not,
we go.
For Barcelona.
He's not great.
For Barcelona. There we go. There you go. I'm not even going to continue this argument because you're not taking it seriously.
Because I won.
No, you're not taking it seriously.
Ronaldo is greasy.
Messi's. This is you two. This is your argument. Is Messi's better because A, he's a nice guy, and B,
it's
Ronaldo
not my
is
argument.
Greasy.
It's Tim's argument.
That is your argument.
It's not.
Well
my
done.
I proved my argument with statistics.
Well done.
And records. You can bring, you know.
When I see Lionel Messi decide, you know what, I want to be regarded as the best player in the world. I'm going to go somewhere else and prove that I can do it somewhere else. then maybe I'll agree with you. Until that day, no.
Ronaldo did not choose to prove himself somewhere else. He went wherever the money was.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Anyone who knows anything about Cristiano Ronaldo will know that he was a boyhood Real Madrid fan.
That doesn't mean he went there to prove himself. That means it was his boyhood club. That's a completely different argument.
Well, he certainly didn't go for the money then, did he?
He was in a sulk this season because he... I'm no longer the highest paid player in the world.
Yeah. Who is?
Messi?
Yeah.
Exactly, why do you think he deserves it.
And why do you think he doesn't want to go anywhere else and prove himself?
Why?
Because he's
playing for the best team in the world. And at the end of the day, I know you say Real Madrid are an inferior
best team in the
world.
How many trophies did they win last season?
Well, you can't write
down. Blah, blah, blah. How many trophies did Barcelona win last season?
I can't say off the top of my head.
I can. Zero.
Yeah, but by you saying that, you're also counteracting your own point from the previous debate where you went, Real Madrid are an inferior team. So if you're saying that Barcelona won nothing, that must mean they won minus trophies last season. No.
No, because...
End of debate.
What do you mean? That doesn't make any sense.
It makes perfect sense. You're saying that Real Madrid are an inferior team, yet they won more than Barcelona last season. And when you say that they're an inferior team, they've got Ozil and Khedira, two of the leading midfielders for the second-ranked national team in the world.
I don't recall saying at any point this evening that Real Madrid are an inferior team.
You said in the last half of the team.
Don't get me wrong. Yes, they are slightly inferior to Barcelona. Slightly.
Yeah.
Ever so slightly. Okay.
Tiny bit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't account for why Ronaldo's so much worse. Anyway, on the bombshell that Lionel Messi is still the best player in the world, I think it's about time to wrap it up.
The painful look on Max's face right now.
He looks like he needs a poo.
No, because his argument... No, your argument is based solely on the fact that you are wittier than me. which I have to agree with.
Oh, thank you. At the end of the day, we'll leave it to our fans, the few that there are. we thank you anyway, fans, to decide who is the better player.
I just want to check if we've had any further updates in regards to the bowl predictions.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of my best mates has decided to vote for Carnage.
Really? Because I haven't had anything actually come through.
Yeah, can't throw on mine.
Oh, has it? Oh, yes.
What can I say? Right, again.
In fact, I need to contact him about the photos.
That means... Unfortunately,
so far from two votes because he voted himself.
Yeah, so far it's two for Carnage, one for Tebow,
and none for me.
None for Swain.
Because I didn't vote for myself because I felt it was good.
Once again, it seems like the majority are going with Carnage.
Once again, it seems like the masses don't really give a shit about our podcast. And on that bombshell, it's good night from me, Bruce Swain. Good night from Max Carnage.
Good night.
And good night from Tebow.
Good night.
Ronaldo's better.